Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's look at the Xfinity Series salaries for Richmond. Who's a good deal at the bottom? Who's a good deal at the top? We're skipping Cram. We're skipping Emerling. Not interested. We are interested in Leland Honeyman. Should be very popular at $4,800 punt of the week. Not even really a punt. Young Motorsports is putting resources into their new Xfinity team. 21st or better after Daytona. Yes, his 11th place finish at Phoenix is inflated by wrecks, but that is always the case with our value drivers. There's going to be attrition, inflation, but he has run well, and he did really run well at the end of this race. If you look at his last 62 laps, all inside the top 20, and he actually moved forward some. And even if you say, well, he didn't really move forward that much, or maybe that was even attrition, he didn't lose spots. For a $4,800 driver to be able to run inside the top 20 and maintain position inside the top 15, that is very solid. At the very least, it tells you that this young equipment is pretty good. Yeah, he gets five extra spots on that final restart. But even if I just told you Leland Honeyman at $4,800 gets you a 15th this week at Richmond, you will be all over it. Next on the board is Ryan Ellis at $5,100. TJM car, middle of the middle pack usually. Although this season, they are kind of rising up. And you may start considering this TJM team, Tom J. Martin's Alpha Prime, to be top of the mid pack. Ellis was respectable at Las Vegas and at Phoenix. If you look at those results, 22nd. 21st, not bad. His Richmond 23 race, his average position was 16th, and he finishes 15th. Pretty solid day. And again, Richmond is not a race where you're going to fluke your way into a lot of stuff. You got what you got. You got there and turned laps. So to have an average running position of 16th, that's a pretty solid race car. Brendan Poole, his TJM teammate. Poole finished 34th, but not so fast. In that Richmond race, he was running for JD Motorsports. You look at what he's doing this year, top 20 in every single race. So that is why I say the Alpha Prime Tommy Joe Martin's car is really making a case for being the top of the middle pack. Blaine Perkins doesn't get enough respect. Maybe sometimes gets too much respect. But one of the places where I always like Blaine Perkins is road courses and flat tracks. But the place that you're really going to love him, and the seed cars in general, even Steve Addington, the old man Addington, seems to know this track probably better than anything else, is Richmond. Do yourself a favor and just go through previous Richmond races and look up the seed cars, and you're going to notice. Or just continue to watch, and you're going to see Sieg, Sieg, Sieg on repeat. They've got something at Richmond. Blicky, I'm skipping over. Could be a mistake, but there's a lot of drivers down here that I really like, and it's not worth mentioning. Kyle Sieg, 20th last year. Part-time rides. Doesn't get a lot of opportunities. Richmond, not the easiest track in the world. Gets a 20th because he has a fast race car with Sieg. Vargas is going to be a starting park. Weatherman's going to get overlooked. Again, another guy I'm not spending a lot of time on because I think there's a lot of value in the 5,000 range. A lot of cars that I really like in the $6,000 range. So it may be something you want to explore. We shouldn't dismiss a Gosselin car outright. He's been a top-rated driver, top 25 driver rating in Atlanta, Las Vegas, Phoenix, almost COTA, top 20 at Atlanta, Las Vegas, Phoenix, 16th. So again, probably shouldn't cruise over him, but I will to keep this podcast short. But that's something I will remind myself later this week. Might want to go back to Weatherman and look at it. Logan Beardman, similar to Morgan Baird, jumping in cars. I can't really trust them. Don't really need to go to them. No experience with Baird and Bearden. Bearden has like a handful of truck races. Baird has maybe 10 or 12 Xfinity races, but all of them, oddly enough, are ARCA races, are all at Michigan. So really no experience whatsoever. The only thing that excites me is the fact that Baird will be running the long drink car. And if you don't know what long drink is, then you are missing out, folks. Got to be 21, though, okay? I don't approve of any whatever. Haley Deegan, she's no longer as cheap as she used to be, and I would much rather go with experience at Richmond and take a discount, although we know that this AM Racing car is faster, and if you were to get Brett Moffitt in this car at 6,000, you would love it. Haley Deegan, just probably not where we want to go. And she hasn't been terrible, although, and I think she's probably going to be disrespected or not play just because of her brushing the wall and NASCAR throwing the caution. She didn't throw the caution, so we shouldn't hold that against her. That's not her fault. But I, for whatever reason, I could see fans blaming her and not wanting to play her or being down on her because NASCAR threw a caution. It has nothing to do with her. So she's been fine. 6,000 is not the worst price for her and her talent. She did finish 15th at Phoenix in the Truck Series last year. So you can't completely wipe her off the board. But again, similar to Weatherman and Balicki, or more so Weatherman, there's just better plays. Like right above her, Jeremy Clements at 6,300. You look back at the last four of the last five at Richmond, he has earned a top 20 finish. Should be five of the last six. Because if we look really close at him, and we look at his last race at Phoenix, probably the most recent in comparison, he wrecked on lap 216 at Phoenix. He ends up finishing, well, he still ends up rallying for a 15th place finish, which is pretty good. Wrecked on lap 216 while in 13th place. Or no, I'm sorry. My mistake. No. He finished well at Phoenix. This Richmond race. Last year at Richmond, he finished 36th. Like I was saying, he's got four top 20s in the last five. Should be five of the last six. Finished 36th at Richmond. He was in 13th place on lap 216. Gets into a wreck. Jeb Burton. It's going to be a little misleading with Jeb Burton because he had pretty good equipment back here. But last season, he was in the same ride that he was in. He was still Jordan Anderson. He was still popping up top 15s. He's not going to be in elite equipment where he can get top fives. But he has demonstrated that he can get pretty close to a top 10 in a Jordan Anderson, which is typically the top of the mid-pack. This is a really good price. It is also pretty much a home race for the Virginia native. That's one of the reasons why you don't have to dance with Haley Deegan. That's why you don't have to try to predict the weather with the weatherman. Because we got Jeb Burton right there. We also have Jeremy Clements, who has been pretty solid. If you want to dice it up and get risky, then you can consider Josh Williams. It's a college car for $6,600. That's a heck of a deal. But my biggest concern is, which we've seen with him before, is he's got to figure out the college setup pretty quickly. And this is a tight schedule. Saturday morning, 8:30, then we're rolling off and racing at 1 p.m. Meanwhile, he's going to have to, you know, learn the setup and figure out what he's doing while also juggling a newborn baby, but also, more importantly, juggling his Twitter fingers while he yells at people on the internet. Anthony Alfredo, very similar situation to the Jeremy Clements story. Finished 12th at Richmond in 2022. Last year, running for BJ. Not the greatest equipment, but he was in 13th place before he blows a tire midway through the race. This year, running for Our Motorsports, solid driver rating, 10, 20, 20, 17, 21, and then also taking that and finishing the races. As we have always said, there are mistakes that will be made in the Xfinity Series. There is always going to be that attrition boost. And Alfredo is capitalizing. These value drivers get many of their points by simply not making mistakes, finishing the race, and letting things come to them. Being patient. 6,800. Average running position in Atlanta. We probably can ignore that one. But Las Vegas, he's a 20th car. He gets a 16th. Phoenix, he's a 17th best car. He grabs you a 10th. Coda, 21st, 12th. That is very methodical. That is very cerebral. As I mentioned last week in the podcast, this might not be the best driver. This might not be the best wheel man. But Alfredo is very smart about how he goes through his race and what he needs to do. And now that he is in pretty decent equipment, I would expect this trend to continue where he knows what to get out of the car and he knows when to go get it. And at 6,800, he's another great value play that we can consider. Maybe the best value of the week. It's not the most cheapest. Most cheapest. Great job, me. Sieg car, Ryan Sieg. The stats speak for themselves. 7th last year. 9th, 13, 15, 12, 12, 5. As I mentioned previously, Sieg's got something at Richmond. And then even this year, Sieg is having a pretty good year. 7th at Phoenix, 12th, or 7th at Las Vegas, 12th at Phoenix, 14th at Circuit of the Americas. It's been a while since we've seen Ryan Sieg really get back to this level. There was a couple years ago where it looked like there was something going on and they were growing. And then they kind of stagnated a little bit. But now it looks like Ryan Sieg could be on the way to the best season of his career. $7,000. I'm on it. Matt Noyce's crew chief could really be the secret recipe here. Let's look that up now that I'm thinking about it. Noyce hasn't really been around a lot in years. The last time that we really saw a lot of him was with Ben Rhodes in 2023, or 2020 and 2019, 2023. Pretty decent numbers. Where did they get their win? Darlington. How did they do at Richmond that year? Finished third. It's a pretty, oof. Oh, that's interesting. Matt Noyce at Richmond in 2020. Ben Rhodes finishes third, leads 66 laps. That is really interesting. Okay. So I think that's been a good crew chief. And we know that Sieg has just juggled crew chiefs over the years. Shane Wilson, our all-time favorite here in DFS, was one of those guys. Flying through, Matt DiBenedetto, another Sieg car. If you look up DiBenedetto's stats at Richmond in the Cup Series, he has a top 20 in his last four Richmond Cup races. Oh, but he was in better equipment. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do in better equipment is get top 20s. It's understandable that when he was in inferior equipment, he wasn't getting top 20s. But when you're in slightly better rides, you're supposed to get top 20s, and that's what he did. His equipment wasn't top 10. His equipment was borderline top 20, and that's exactly what he did. This week, he has equipment that is top 10, and so that is where he should race. If DiBenedetto, though, swallows up all the ownership, I would be much more happy or much more inclined to take Ryan Sieg at lower ownership, who has a lot more experience that's been working with this team every single week, whereas DiBenedetto, who just walked in the door last week. So I hope that DiBenedetto gets boosted and you can go ahead and go right to Sieg. Or you can go right to Parker Retzlaff, who is racing well. 16th last year, 10th at Richmond in 2022. Oh, by the way, who was Parker Retzlaff racing for in 2022 at Richmond? Ryan Sieg. Pretty good races this season so far. 17th place at Phoenix. So you can see Phoenix, average running position of 21st, but he finishes 35th. He was in 17th before being caught up in the big one. Remember the Haley Deegan incident, and then we have a restart that triggers madness. He got caught in that one. Gotta like it. And maybe that scares people because they're not really going through and digging in, and they don't remember that he got caught up in that race. SVG. Not a lot of data to look at. One thing that I will point out is that his crew chief is Bruce Schlicker. Bruce Schlicker was the crew chief last season at Richmond for Chandler Smith, who crushed at this racetrack. Obviously, SVG is not the oval racer that Chandler Smith is, but they're going to have some pretty solid setup notes heading into this race. Now, the thing with SVG is at least when his salary is depleted, we can just count on finishing position and maybe some place differential. There's never going to be the case that this guy's going to lead laps, run fast laps, and be a monster early on. He's going to have the race to figure it out. And that's really what he has been doing lately. He's gone in and just trying to learn. And you can look at his laps. Phoenix, he has a decent day running 16th. He gets a much better day in terms of finish with 6th through attrition, you name it. The thing that concerns me, if you really dive into his Phoenix laps, he maybe, and even from the back to the front, maybe passed 4 cars all day. Like I said, he's out there just trying to learn. And that is evident in the fact that he was not passing anyone. He was just holding his position. At 7,500, we need a guy that can move a little bit more. We need a guy that's going to be a little bit more racy. We need a guy that's actually not in school. We don't necessarily need the teacher, but we would like, you know, the AB student, not the kid with his nose in the books. And that, at the moment, seems like that's where SVG is, and that's fine. And that's what Van Gisbergen should be doing, is playing the long game and learning and taking notes and improving. No one expects him to win right now. We shouldn't expect him to win right now. I just think you're going to get a lot more upside out of these other guys that are going to be pushed and driving a lot harder. Corey Heim, 13th driver rating Las Vegas, 12th at Phoenix. I believe, yes, if I check my notes, he had to pit for an unscheduled situation with a loose wheel at Phoenix, and so that really hurt his result, but was getting the most out of his Sam Hunt Racing car. Heim is fine at 7,800, but I would much rather go down into the 7s and 6s, but I do want to point out that he was running well until that loose situation at Phoenix. If nothing else, just to mention that Sam Hunt Racing, pretty decent. Bubba Pollard, it's a cool story. Everyone is hyped about it. Get that hype train rolling. But he's got a quick morning session, and then we're going to roll out there. A lot of questions. He's a little bit more expensive than I think he should be. To be quite honest, he should be priced down towards the De Benedetto range. You're overpaying. He could have a good day, and we can all be happy about that and still not matter in fantasy, and we can all be happy that we didn't play him. Parker Kligerman could get you probably a top 10 at 8,200. That's fine. That's safe. I don't think that's going to work into the optimal lineup. We're going to have to spend up. We're going to go down and save. Kligerman works if he can get you some place differential. Brandon Jones, always on the board, something that we have to think about and consider. My biggest issue with rostering Brandon Jones is he lost his crew chief in Randall Burdett, who was formerly with Allgaier, then jumped in with Jones. They had a terrific race last season, although he wrecks towards the end and only gets a 21st place finish. It was fast, but that maybe had a lot to do with Jason Burdett being the crew chief. Jason Burdett is no longer with him. And I believe Jones is often only as good as his team. He is only as good as his setup. He's having a pretty solid season so far. Wouldn't completely rule him out at 8,300 if he gets the place differential, but I'm not really excited. Taylor Gray, his Richmond history, not extensive. It's okay. We love him in the truck series. He is blossoming into a young talent. He's going to take over the JGR part-time ride. 8,500 for a JGR Xfinity car, not the worst deal in the world, but this is really going to be the first time Gray is stepping into a little bit more horsepower. I don't need to go there. I don't need to go there with Sammy Smith either. These guys really all seem like they're no man's land. Sam Mayer, he could cycle to the lead. He could unload a hot rod. They could make something work. But where we stand right now, it's not really something that we're super excited about. I mean, we're looking at previous Richmond races. We're looking at previous Phoenix races. It's just not where I need to be. Riley Herbst, like Jones, 23rd finish, but had a possible top five, or we had a top five car, maybe even a top three car. And if we look back at last year's Richmond race and say, well, who had the most speed? It was clearly Chandler Smith, and then Josh Berry, and then probably it was Riley Herbst and Brandon Jones. They were right there. So once I start to get in this range, he is one of the first guys that I start to really start to get interested in. 9,200 is not bad. Was good at this racetrack last year. Phoenix, he gets caught in incidents. But I really, what you're going to notice is there's just a huge separation. We're going into this week, and you just really are going to like one guy. And we'll just go ahead and skip to that. It's Chandler Smith, and we play this thing out in our head. Chandler Smith, awesome at Phoenix this year. Awesome at Richmond last year. Checking all the boxes. Even Jeff Mendering led laps at this racetrack last year with Sammy Smith before they made a galaxy brain call by staying out on tires and just pretty much punting the race. Allgaier it's almost as if DraftKings didn't get the memo, and they didn't, right? DraftKings is not looking through crew chief stats. They're not doing that. When Justin Allgaier worked with Jason Burdett, look at what they did. Fourth, first, first, fourth, third. Burdett jumps over with Jones, and Jones has a terrific race. Burdett's been gone for 2 years, or at least a year. Allgaier, I don't believe he's going to have the setup or the car. And you look at last year. Yeah, Allgaier got hurt by a caution that comes out at the wrong time. He's the first to pit cycle. He's gambling. But the reason that he gambled was because he didn't have that fast of a car. He had a seventh-place car. That was it. He had nothing for Chandler Smith. Cole Custer had nothing for Chandler Smith. No one had anything. Josh Berry could go toe-to-toe. The old late-model superstar could do it. But no one else. And you look at this field, maybe, possibly, Eric Almirola, who had a decent day in the Cup Series at Richmond last year. Maybe he has something, but I don't think so. It looks like it's going to be a Chandler Smith day to me. AJ, maybe? I don't think so. Austin Hill, not the greatest short track driver. Top five? Yeah. But is he going to go out there at a non-intermediate track race and battle with Chandler Smith? I don't think so. Jesse Love, he's not there yet. Riley Herbst is probably the closest in the conversation of someone who can go toe-to-toe. He's not going to go toe-to-toe. He might cycle to the lead. He may take advantage of a poor pit stop by Chandler Smith, which he did have at Phoenix. So I don't think that Chandler Smith is going to lead every lap. Someone's going to get a cycle or two. I don't even see, like, you know, you play this race out. Oh, we got lap traffic. That's going to cycle the lead like we saw last year where Josh Berry takes the lead due to lap traffic. I don't even think lap traffic's going to hold Smith back in this field. That should do it for the price check. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate the support. Leave a like right now. Leave a like. Subscribe. Share. Go to racefortheprize.com. Check out the April package. Look into it. Subscribe. Get your sheets. 10 sheets. 10. Events. I'm truly blessed to have you guys around. Love you guys. Trips to life fantastic.